Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
All right, Ryan, I got a question for you. You're a truck driver.
Yes, sir.
You're driving down the highway. You come to the stoplight. There are no cars coming in any direction from anywhere. Is it okay to go on through the red light?
Well, I think the Lord would say, no, you got to wait. I can't say that I never did go through the red
light. We're talking to Ryan Durham, who is, Mark, I'm going to let you introduce him.
Oh, hello. It's so good to be with you all today. We are in Atlanta, and Ryan, glad to have you with us. Ryan Durham is from Loup City, Nebraska.
Yes, sir.
And the word city there is doesn't really describe the town.
It's hopeful.
Ryan's from Loup City, Nebraska, and we're here in Alpharetta, and we've had a wonderful couple of days with a couple of hundred replanters, and Ryan and his lovely bride were selected to be the replant couple of the year.
Congratulations.
Which means they get an all expense paid. No, they don't, actually. But we're glad you're here, and thank you. It is an honor to have that given to you, deposed upon you.
but you are a bivocational pastor. You're a truck driver.
Sir. Yes,
right.
Sir.
And over the road?
Yeah, well, I was for almost 25 years.
Wow.
And then the last couple of years, we went more local. And then actually just 8 weeks ago, roughly, June, I actually transitioned out of the semi and into driving a transportation for the city.
Oh, okay.
Which has actually been, and that's just really recent, but I went to work for the city of Loup City itself. And it's really an answer to prayer. It was another pay cut, but it gave me the opportunity to spend time with people in town every single day. And the nice thing is I'm either in the office, which is one thing, but then I'm also getting to take them to doctor's appointments that are an hour away. And so we're just getting to sit and chat and
catch up
and build relationships, and I'm getting paid to do it.
So. All right, guys. I want to focus this. Our listeners, I want you to know what we're doing today. We're doing a wonderful podcast on bivocational pastors in small rural towns who became pastor late in life, right? And that is such an important thing, and it is so powerfully impactful in the kingdom. And Ryan, you represent that. That's why you were selected as Replanter of the Year. You really represent a whole movement of God we see in North America. And so, man, if you're out there and you're a bivocational pastor, or you're just a layman, you're thinking maybe God's calling me to be a pastor, or you just want to hear a good story, right? Who doesn't want to hear a good story, all right? Okay, you don't want to hear a good story, you go listen to somebody else's podcast, because we got nothing but good stories here. But Ryan, so I'm going to ask you some questions. First of all, tell me, where were you born?
Wichita Falls, Texas.
So you're Texan?
Yes, sir.
All right. How long have you lived outside of Texas?
I have lived outside of Texas now, I guess, actually going on close to 30 years.
Really?
Close to 30
All right.
Years.
So we're going to do the math here. How old were you when you left Texas?
16.
Okay. So now we know. All right. That's good. Anyway, and your wife is?
My wife is Brandy.
Yeah.
And she is actually from Colorado.
Okay.
And she is amazing and probably the only reason I am still sitting here in front
All
of you.
Right. Well, let me give you a picture of what our brother here looks like. In fact, you'll probably see it because we'll post it on social media and stuff like that. But, man, he looks like a truck driver.
He does
dude,
look like a truck driver.
Got the bald head, shaved head, looks great. Got the good-looking beard going on. Man, looks like he can handle a truck. Man, you got the voice. What a great – between you and Dan, man, I sound like a seventh grader if my voice is changing here. But you guys got great voices. So, Ryan, you – born in Texas and met your wife from Colorado. How'd you come to know Christ?
I actually came to know Christ when I was 30. It was actually 2009. Honestly, just living a life of brokenness and sin, coming out of addiction and alcoholism, and got saved, got clean, got sober, got saved. And actually coming out of that, joined a small little church plant down in Mississippi. On the border of Tennessee, and was down there for a couple of years before making the move to Colorado. Man, it's just been amazing just feeling the Lord grow me and work through me, especially in those early years. And that's one of the things that I love. I didn't grow up in the church. I grew up around the church.
Yep.
And in I don't want to take away from anybody else's story, but I do love the fact that I came to faith later in life because of the fact that I remember that feeling of hopelessness mm-hmm. and brokenness.
Yeah.
And so I'm able to try to intentionally hold on to that because it reminds me of how much he's done for me.
And you were an overload truck driver, like cross-country kind of truck driver?
Yes, sir. So I drove all over. I drove reefer trucks, which are the refrigerated trucks. We did some flatbeds, some dry van stuff. And that was pretty much some livestock, but not too much.
Ah, we call those bull haulers in Kansas. Yes, fun to be behind a bull hauler in August when you have no air conditioning. Well. Anyway, so you ended up in Colorado, mm-hmm. right? And then we have a mutual friend there. Tell us how you ended up with Mark Halleck at Calvary Church in Englewood.
Yeah, man. Again, just the leading of God. So I'd met my wife, and we were searching for a home church together. And as we were looking, we had tried a couple of churches. Nothing seemed to fit. We weren't really feeling like we were really called to really stay in one particular church. And so anyway, a childhood friend of hers had suggested Calvary of Englewood.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went and, you know, looking outside, it was like, well, this is a nice regular sized church. And, you know, it seems normal and we could do, you know, this seems doable. And so we just started going and plugging in and serving. And honestly, we were just loved. Right from the get-go, we were loved, we were encouraged, and so just kind of plugged in there. And before too long, if anybody ever knows Mark, you learn how to hug real quick.
Yeah.
And so he did. He just came alongside me, and he just started encouraging me, as well as some of the other elders and pastors there, as I was starting to question my call, and I was developing or trying to develop what that looked like, and struggling with that, and was considering going to seminary.
Okay.
And so I was encouraged to go. And so I actually did start going to Gateway and really just loving on people in our church, following the example of Mark and some of the other guys at Calvary, just trying to love and serve people. And Mark came up behind me one day and just gave me a big old hug and told me how much he loved me. And he's like, man, I need you to come join our cohort and join the internship. And you know, I hear you asking if you might be called. Let's really explore that and let's see what it looks like.
Yeah.
And
I want to really affirm Halleck at this point. I love Mark Halleck. You know, he's on this podcast every week with us on twice a week. And, you know, what Halleck did there, guys, you need to listen to this. I mean, here's Ryan. I came to know Christ as an adult out of addiction. You know, man, moves to Colorado looking for a church. I love the fact that when you said it was a normal-sized church, let me translate that. It was not a big, fancy-looking church, right?
No.
It looked like a church where just about anybody could show up. So sometimes your building, if it's humble and small, God can use that to attract people, right?
Absolutely.
So don't ever, you know, wish you had something else. God can use what you have. And trust me, Mark's building's pretty humble and unattractive. But and he would be the first to say that.
But on Sunday.
On Sunday, it's a beautiful place.
It is an amazing place.
But I also want to say that Mark, see, you got a guy like Ryan who comes. Mark sees you grow in faith and love. But he's got a plan for you. He says, come and join my cohort. Guys, pastors, I don't care what size church you have. You need to have some kind of on-ramp for guys like Ryan, who God is stirring in their heart to do something more. I mean, what if there was nothing in the church that they could have connected you to? I mean, that was really important to give you that on-ramp to join his cohort. So tell me about his cohort. What was that?
Yeah, so we came in and they really, and I can't remember exactly how many sessions it's broke down into, but we gather weekly, mm-hmm. and there's the training and the material that we go over. It's so practical, and that's the thing. You get to come alongside Mark and Jeff and some of the other elders, and you're learning things from a practical experience, but you're being loved, and you're being shepherded in mm-hmm. that moment. And so you're taking that, and you're learning, and you're dreaming, you're praying over what the Lord might be calling you to do. And just being encouraged and being loved and falling in love with that model. And at the same time, having your heart broke for dying churches.
Right.
And every time, that's the thing, I can't hear Mark's voice without hearing or feeling the passion behind, there's a church closing this Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a community that's not going to have the gospel preached next week.
Wow.
And what are we doing about it?
Wow. I know Mark's not here, but pastors, you need to hear what's going on here. Mark is laying the vision out there in front of people. He's giving them the tools to achieve what God's called them to do. God used Mark to place in the heart of our brother Ryan here a passion for dying churches, a passion to be a pastor. And that weekly cohort, man, they teach you everything: how to do funerals, how to preach, how to follow up on visitors, how to organize a church. It's just day-to-day practical stuff. And so he's telling you about dying churches, and the Holy Spirit's just drawing your heart to that. Here you are, a truck driver, only been a Christian for, 10, 15 years. Talk to me about how in the world a guy like you – well, first of all, talk to us about Loup City. I mean, I know Loup City. I was a state missions leader in Kansas, Nebraska for a decade, and I have been to Loup City. Mm. So I've been to Nebraska. But talk to us about Loup City. You know, all you got to do is you just leave Omaha and you look for the lights on the horizon at night and you follow them to the – no, you really can't see Loup City at all. Talk to us about Loup City.
Man, well, the first thing I can say is I don't know if you can explain it. You have to experience it. And I say that because I don't know how we ended up there other than that, honestly. It's so crazy the way the Lord has led us there. It's a small farming and ranch community of about 1,000 folks.
Uh-huh.
Depending on who you ask, there's between 3,000 and 5,000 in the county there. Beautiful people who just, it's a really big Polish community.
Right.
And so that's been really kind of fun and something that we've been able to interact with the community with, because every year they have a big festival. So that's been kind of fun. But honestly, people who just genuinely, especially at the original church, the legacy members there, folks that just genuinely loved the Lord, just didn't know how to reach people anymore. And so we really came up there originally. They had lost their pastor. It's a one-horse town. I mean, literally, we don't even have a traffic light.
Okay.
We got one flashing yellow.
Okay.
We don't have a Walmart.
Okay.
We got one diner in town.
Yep.
That closes at 5.
Okay.
And so if you don't want to cook, you better order dinner early. we do have a bowling alley. So I think it's got 2 lanes. It might have 3.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, not a whole lot there. Now, we do have the Sherman Reservoir, which is not too far away. And so that's really nice and actually brings some folks in and out of town, especially during the early spring.
So the church had been there for a number of years. I'm familiar with the church. But it basically, you said they lost their pastor, basically got down to ready to be closed.
Yeah.
How many people were there when you showed up?
There was approximately 12 people.
Yeah.
13 if you counted some of the kids.
Yeah, yeah. So the church in Kearney, Nebraska heard about it and cared about it and communicated to Mark, and Mark communicated to you.
Yeah.
Right?
And they had actually talked for quite a while.
Yeah.
To really figure out if they were really ready.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they got a hold of us and they asked. Originally, they asked us if we would come and serve 1 week a month for the summer.
Okay.
Over the course of the summer. And so I was like, well, we could do that, and we could, at least start to see what this might look like and how we can help and serve.
Now, how far is it from Denver to Loup City?
From Denver to Loup City is about an hour. Mm-hmm. It's about 5 hours.
5 hours, yeah.
But at that time, we were living in Kearney.
Oh, you were already in Kearney.
Yeah.
So you were just an hour away.
Yeah.
Okay,
we had moved to Kearney in 2019.
Okay.
So we were serving in Kearney.
Okay.
And so they asked, and I was preaching and doing some pulpit supply around the state and things like that. And they'd been without a pastor for a couple of years. Hey, what would you think about coming up? We've got some guys on rotation, but they're all 70s and 80s, and they want a break. So I was like, okay, well, we could probably do that. Let me come visit you guys before I come preach for the first time, and that way it's not some stranger walking in the door. And they were like, that'd be wonderful. And so I came in on Tuesday night during their community group, and they said, here's the bylaws, here's dinner, the interview's in 10 minutes.
That's typical. That's typical.
So that's exactly how that happened. And so I looked at my wife and I said, the only thing I can think of to do is to ask them questions before they ask me.
Okay.
And so the first question I asked them was, why do you love this church?
Mm-hmm.
I said, there's other churches in the county. There's other churches in town. Why is it so important that you guys keep this church open? And every single one of them started talking to me about how much they loved the community.
Okay.
And how much they loved the people. The one thing that shocked me, and I was waiting to hear from listening to all the podcasts and reading all the books, right? I was waiting to hear about, this church used to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to do that. they didn't brag on any of it.
Okay.
And that was really kind of surprising to me. But they did talk about how much they loved the people, and they didn't know how to reach them with the gospel anymore.
Okay.
And they just flat out admitted, we don't know what to do, and we're tired, we're exhausted, and we're almost out of hope.
Yeah.
And all I could think is, you just told me you believe in Jesus. How can you have no hope?
Yeah.
And so my heart just broke, and my wife's did too. And so before we ever got home that night, so about a 45-minute drive from Loup City back to Kearney, before we even got back home, I told my wife, I said, you know, we're never leaving.
Yeah.
And we haven't. This Sunday actually was the first Sunday that we haven't been there in 13 months.
Really?
So, yes, sir.
So you're moving into town now, right, pretty soon?
We are. So great blessing and praise from the Lord. Our youngest daughter in her freshman year of high school won a scholarship to the local university there in Kearney, but it's tied to the high school.
Right.
And so we told everybody up front, we want to get in the community as soon as possible.
Sure.
We have to let her graduate first.
Right.
And so she'll graduate this year. And so we'll get moved up there, hopefully late summer, early fall is what we're looking at.
Well, tell me about the church. What's going on with the community? How are you? You know, you're talking to some guys who are, you know, in churches like that, 12, 14 people in a small town.
Yeah.
Give them some advice. Give them some encouragement.
Well, the first thing, as far as advice, I would say the only advice, and I think everybody knows this, right? Like, you start with loving your people and preaching the word. And when you think you've done everything you can do to accomplish those two things, then love his people and preach his word.
All right.
That's all I can honestly say. That's all I've done.
Yeah.
But I can say this, the community is beginning to take notice.
Okay.
When we got there, the church didn't necessarily have the greatest reputation in the county. The people in the church didn't necessarily have the greatest reputation, but the community has now started coming around and going, wow, something's different.
Okay.
You guys are different. They're coming to me now, not just and asking me questions about the church, but asking me to participate in community events.
Okay.
And they've got pastors and they've got other ministers that have been in the community for years. But for Veterans Day and for Memorial Day, the Lord's just opened up these doors where I'm getting those phone calls to come and serve the community.
Right.
And little things, and that's just our thing, is my thing, is this, I want us to just be present in everything.
Awesome.
We can't do a lot, but we can show up.
So 2007, before your conversion, picture yourself, what your life was like, and now here we are, 2023, and you're the pastor of a church in Loup City, Nebraska. How's that make you feel like, bro?
But you were dead.
Hmm.
You were dead.
Yeah.
But God.
But God.
My favorite passage in the entire Bible. And those are my two favorite words.
Yeah.
But God.
Yeah.
There's rarely a Sunday, there's rarely a moment somebody asked me that question or a Sunday that passes where I don't tear up thinking about that truth.
Okay.
And it's honestly thankful. I think it could be too much sometimes if I was to carry that in a bad way.
I understand.
But the one thing I love about it is it reminds me this isn't my church.
Right.
I didn't do this.
Right.
So I can't do that.
Right. What you mean is you didn't redeem yourself.
Exactly.
You didn't clean yourself up. God did that.
Right.
And now you know he can do that to this church.
Exactly. And so it's helpful. It's helpful for me when I start to feel the weight of like, well, the church needs this and the church needs that. And I start going, well, I have to. And I go, wait. I can't. I didn't start this. I can't finish this.
How about connecting to people who were in your situation in life? How is God using that? Your life experiences as a truck driver, as you've acknowledged being in addiction and being far from God, growing up around the church, which most people, even in Loup City, you mentioned it was heavily Polish. A lot of those immigrants came over. They were already Catholic in their background, so they have some knowledge. So they grew up around church. But talk to us a little bit about how your experience, God has used that to communicate the gospel to people who need it.
No, well, it opens up a lot of opportunity. One, just because it gives me the chance to, if I'm going to try to love on somebody and I'm sharing the gospel, one of the things that I'm asking them to do, and I don't know if we acknowledge this a lot, I'm asking them to be vulnerable with me.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm asking somebody to open up about their sin, repent of that, they have to trust me enough to share that.
Right.
And so it gives me a chance to, before I ask them to do that, for me to do that with them. let me share some of my story. And that, so that opens up so many windows, but then it also brings hope to not just people who are living that old life now, but people who are living with them, you know, or who know them or who love them. And they go, you know what, I was going to give up. But if the Lord's done this in you, the Lord could do that in them.
That's right.
And so it opens up those opportunities. And then we've got folks in our church that have suffered through that and have been redeemed from that. And so it gives us a connection that is just a little different and it's a little special. And so when they celebrate their birthdays and things like that, like there's always just, it gives us something else to celebrate.
Sure.
Right. And something else to praise the Lord over. And that's the one thing. And I think it was from you that I learned this, right? To celebrate everything.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, and so yeah. It's just one more thing that we can grab on and say, hey, let's do this.
Well, listen, I just can't thank you enough for spending some time with us today. I just want you all to know, man, as great as you are and what you're doing, you're also typical of what God can do with a life. And I love the fact that it was a small church in Mississippi where you found Christ, and he found you, rather. And then it was Mark Halleck who provided the love and the on-ramp and began to reveal to you the need for pastors of dying churches. And then the church in Kearney who sent you up to Loup City. And then the church in... See how God just put all these things together? Mm-hmm. And I, man, just so grateful that... you don't have to be perfect to be a pastor. You don't. You can just be willing and ask God to use you, and be bivocational and go to these places that nobody else would go to. And I want to tell you, man, all week here, every time I mention your name, people say, "Oh man, that guy loves people. That guy loves Jesus. That guy loves his town." And you know what? You're right. Praise you God. Said it a while ago. How do you revitalize a church? You love Jesus. You preach the gospel, and you love people. And you just keep doing it with consistently. So thank you, man, for sharing that. One last thing before we go. You know, how would you suggest guys like you who want to be like you or who are pastoring and bivocational, how do you get equipping and training? How do you stay fresh and current? Give them some advice. As a bivocational pastor in a small town trying to replant it, tell me, what would you say to them if they were sitting right here with you? Because believe me, they're listening.
Yeah, I honestly, one, I would say just make sure you're plugged in with some friends and a network of some sort, you know, whether, you know, for me, it's Calvary, and I have those guys. Find something of that nature. But then, honestly, and this is, I mean, they didn't pay me to say this. I'm telling you, I mean it. We listen to every podcast we can listen to. So we listen to this podcast. We listen to Jimbo Stewart and those guys. Right. I listen to the rural pastor.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing: like, there's so much wisdom and experience from guys like you that we can glean from. My wife and I have notebooks just full of ideas and thoughts and prayers that we've taken from different podcasts over the years, and we have that access now. And so I honestly think that is a good way to do it, and especially when we have the access to send messages to somebody and just communicate. And so I would say take advantage of that and use those, but be intentional with it.
Sure.
And that's one thing I had to do. There was a time where I just listened to everything and it became a noise in the background.
Right.
And so we did. We started making a note system and we started saying, okay, let's really be intentional with how we listen to and what we're taking away from it so that we can actually build something out of that.
That's great. Hey, we're going to put in the show notes, we'll put your contact information. Yep. People can contact you. And I just want you all to pray for Ryan and his wife and for Loup City and what God's doing there. And, man, just what an encouragement you've been to me. Right, Dan?
Right. This has been such an encouraging podcast because really what I captured, the word that kept coming back to me as you spoke, Ryan, and as you spoke, Mark, was vision. You know, back in Mississippi, you didn't really have a vision, you know. But as God gave you a vision, you know, that developed you in your faith. And your people at Loup City had lost their vision. Mm. And, you know, Proverbs 29:18, without a vision, the people perish. But you know what? So does the community. Mm-hmm. And so your people now have a vision, and so does your community.
Thank you, guys. Great to be with you. Enjoy. I'm praying for you. Enjoy getting to know you more over the next few years. Look forward to many times we get to share together. You know, I just live down in Kansas. You live in Nebraska, right?
5-hour drive.
We love it, man. That's where our dog can run away from home, and 3 days later, we can still see him, right? Just you never.
But you need a passport, don't you?
I think so. Take care, bro. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor, or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.